Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
I've never really fit the mold. Pastor, church builder, even minister. I'm talking about from my perspective. I've never really filled the shoes and fit the mold. And not fitting in. What's interesting is that it the expectation when normal regular pastors get up is they teach or preach. And I kind of do that. I try once in a while to do it, but. But today it's not going to be that. Today it's going to be more a rant. And I'll tell you why. It's time for the church. And we have to recognize that and know that because the world is dark and always has been. Okay, but today it's obviously dark. I don't believe it's any darker than it was. I believe it's just more obviously dark. And the message of God's plan and his purpose is light, and it's life-giving light. And that's why the word refers to us as the light of the world, a city on a hill that can't be hidden. You're the light of the world. Understand that. That's your role. That's who you are. You're the light of the world, okay? So when darkness is screaming about prevailing, realize you're the light of the world. Okay, greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. This is a great time to renew our minds to God's will for our lives, God's will for us. I'm telling you, no matter who you are or what you've done or where you've been, if Jesus is Lord of your life, God's will for your life is for you to win. No matter what, to win in your marriage, with raising your kids, and if you're single, to win every day in life. To win in your finances, to win in your vocation, to win in ministry. That's the will of God. The message of the world is really discouraging. And it's the prevalent message of the world. It's just like, oh my gosh. And I hear pastors, I talk to pastors every day all week, and I hear pastors say, where are we going to go from here? What are we going to do now? Well, God's voice is always encouraging. So realize if you're getting discouraged, you got too much of the world in your ears, too much of the world getting in your head and even getting in your heart. And see, we've got to realize that I believe there's a scale in my life, and that scale tips whether the world's feeding it or the word is feeding it. See, if the world's feeding it, man, things look grim, and how are we ever going to make it? How's this going to happen? Do you understand? That's never in the word. That's never coming out of Jesus' mouth, ever. See, and we've got to realize that. We're in the midst of what I believe to be a great spiritual awakening in America. And I'm saying that with everything in me, knowing that everything looks so bleak, okay? The protesting, the rioting, everything that's going on in the world, the political tenor of America, it's unbelievably dark, okay? But we have to understand we're in the midst right now of a great spiritual awakening, and we need to look at God's word to be able to receive it. We're not going to be able to look at the world and be able to receive it. We've got to look at God's word to receive it. See, that's the whole deal. This is where we find God's heart and we find our future. If you wonder where your future is, it's either in mass media or social media, or it's in God's word. And see, we've got to understand that. We've got to find our future in God's word. See, God's word promises to give you a future and a hope. God says, look, I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. Good and not evil. A future and a hope. These times seem overwhelming to our flesh. I don't know about you guys, but I'm telling you, for me, it becomes overwhelming to my flesh. But it reveals to us that the devil, he's always going to overplay his hand. You know, how many of you guys have a situation in your life that's right now that's overwhelming for you? All that is the devil overplaying his hand. That's all it is. When things start to become overwhelming for you, you know what you've got to do? You've got to take authority. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given me, therefore go. See, we've got to understand that. We've got to realize that when things become overwhelming, oh my gosh, this is spiritual. Man, there's so many times in our lives, Sandy and I have come up to a block wall, and it's like, oh my gosh, we can't get over it, we can't get around it, we can't go through it. And the next thing you know, all we've got to do is walk in the authority that God's word promises us, and we're on the other side of it. Every single time. And see, we've got to look at that. We've got to recognize the times. In James 4 in verse 1, I need you to open your Bible today. I need you to open the app. I need you to look at it. I need you to become, because let me tell you, it's going to be on the screens. You can trust the screens. They're all going to have it on there. But you know what? You've got to be able to access it yourself. Okay? This isn't about being a church. We could spoon feed you and give you eyedroppers of this. But let me tell you something. God's going to pour out his spirit upon you when you leave this building. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Now think about that. That's all America is today. It's a huge, big infighting nation that's warring amongst their members. Why? For each other's pleasures. Now listen, you lust and you don't have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain, you fight in war, yet you don't have because you don't ask. What James is saying here, you don't have because you're leaving God out of the equation. Let me just tell you, that scale I was talking about, all the information and all the social media and mass media that you can get, man, all of that, you put God on the other side of that scale, guess what? The scale tips into your favor. Anybody agree with that? See, you ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. See, there's too much of a ministry in America today that verse 3 epitomizes it. I think too many people come into church, too many people staying away from church, too many people stiff-arming church feel like it's just a money grab. Do you understand? We're a generous people. This is a generous church. It's not a money grab. There's no one I know here that's doing anything for the money. In James 4:4, he writes, adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain? You think this is just casual talk, that the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? You know, the Spirit of God on the inside. See, I've always had this notion. I've always known that God's a jealous God. But do you understand the Holy Spirit that indwells you? The Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you is jealous of everything else you're trying to put into your system. But he gives more grace. See, that's a big key, verse 6. James 4:6, but he gives more grace. He gives more grace. What are you going through right now? The reason it feels and you sense that it's overwhelming and it's lingering and it's beginning to root in your life is because you're not walking in the more grace that God has for you. See, if I gave my life to Jesus in 1979 and God gave me a grace with that salvation, it was a gift that he gave me. If I don't live in more grace, like right now, I know so much more. I'm responsible for so much more. So much more hinges upon every breath of every day of my life. Then you know what? It requires more grace than I've ever had in my life right now. And you know what? I thank God because he gives us more grace. Therefore, he says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Man, he's given his power, his supernatural ability. And then he says this, and this is a big equation. Therefore, submit to God. And you know what that means? Relinquish all rights. Submit to God, resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. See, if the devil's encamped in your life, it's because you haven't submitted to God. You haven't resisted the devil. Do you understand? You don't have to fight him off. You just have to resist him. You just have to stiff arm him. Let me tell you, it's like tackling in football. It's a commitment. Somebody comes, you're running with the ball, somebody comes to tackle you. You test their commitment with a simple stiff arm. Man, if you could stiff arm the devil, guess what? He's not committed to tackling you. So you know what you get to do? You get to take the ball downfield. See, so here's the equation. Submit to God. Submit to God. Relinquish your rights. Just say, God, I'm all in. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Okay, understand that. The overwhelming, you've screwed up in your life, right? Man, you've sinned. You've fallen short of the glory of God since you've become a Christian. So the devil's going to try to take the back of your head and rub your nose in that defeat when really he got that move from Jesus when Jesus took the keys to death, hell, and the grave from him. He didn't come up with that on himself. So what he's going to try to do, he's going to try to convince you into the deception that God's disqualified you because of what you've done. Can I tell you, if you're under the sound of my voice right now, you're not disqualified. As a matter of fact, you're very qualified. Submit to God. Resist the devil, he has to flee. But you know what the world's going to do? The world is going to flip that equation. And you know what the world's going to say? Is submit to your circumstances. Resist God's promises, and then the devil sets up camp in your life. See, it's all what we submit to. Do you understand? Submission is the most powerful. It's the most powerful action that we can do on this earth. We submit ourselves to God, submit ourselves to God's word, submit ourselves to God's promise, submit ourselves to God's authority. Man, everything that's going on, man, we see people protesting, we see people rioting, we see people throwing bricks, we see people dog cussing cops. It's like, wait a second, you know what? It's indirect protest is what it is. I don't think these people have anything against those cops personally. I don't think they have anything directly against them. I think it's all indirect, and it goes back to the authority in their life. It goes back, let me tell you what it does. It screams daddy issues. Why? Because God's put dads in homes to be the authority. So if there's not a dad in the home, guess what? You single mamas, get your kids in church. There's got to be an authority that's set in their life. Otherwise, they're going to be hit and miss. They're going to be all over the planet just like people are today. And I'm not judging these people or condemning these people. I'm just saying it's not personal to the thing that they're pulling out. It's not personal. Guess what? It's lingering, indirect authority issues that they have in their lives. So what do? We submit ourselves to God. We resist the devil and he has to flee. Or we submit ourselves to our circumstances and our situation. And we allow the devil to come in. We resist God's promise. James 4:8, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Let me tell you what I deal with in my life. I deal with double-mindedness in my life. I deal with that. Man, I'm solid in the faith. I know God's word. But guess what? I'll hear somebody's opinion, and it'll anger me. It's not just that I disagree with it. I'll get angry about it. Well, you know what? The Bible doesn't say don't be angry. The Bible says be angry and sin not. It's not that anger's natural. And I believe there's even a righteous anger, a righteous indignation, a righteous frustration that we can live in. I told you I was going to rant. See, you've got to understand that looking at this, that it's all spiritual. Write that down. It's all spiritual. Your marriage is spiritual. Your babies are spiritual. Everything in your life. Now, when we turn and we make the work of our hands and our vocation and our livelihood and our finances and our resources, we make that spiritual, now we can win. Man, when we look at things as, wait a second, this is spiritual, I just have to take authority. See, the reason things run amok in your life is because there's no authority. The reason things start going sideways in your situations is because you haven't taken the authority. See, our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom has come. Your will is done in my life, on earth as it is in heaven. See, that's the big key. What we're doing is we're just connecting with heaven with everything in our life. That's what God's word does. In James 4:9, he says, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Why? Because you've left God out of the equation. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. See, all the world's doing right now, can I help you? The world is self-medicating. That's all they're doing. I want every person, no matter what color your skin is, no matter what tone it is, no matter what your accent might be, I want everyone here to have a voice. Why? Because the reason Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead is to give us control back in our lives. And you know what? Having control of your life, now you get a voice. That voice has to be the voice of authority. Everyone in here has got to have the voice of authority in them. In 2 Peter 1, 2, Peter writes, it says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. But it's in the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. In the knowledge of the nature and the heart of God and God's word. Jesus was the word made flesh. As his divine power has given us, listen to this, as his divine power, grace and peace has been given unto you, as it's multiplied to you, as his divine power has given us all things, everybody say all things, that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who's called us by his glory and virtue. Man, it's all about the knowledge of the word. Through the promises God has given us, we're partakers of the divine nature. Man, you think about that. God said, let there be light. What happened? The light happened. What happened? Darkness was dispelled. Do you understand? Darkness fell upon the earth. Why? Authority hadn't been taken yet. So God said, let there be light. Guess what that was? That was the voice of authority. Guess what you have in you? The voice of authority is in you. You've got to speak to that mountain. You've got to speak to that darkness. And you've got to call the light out. It's all in and through the knowledge of God's word. Man, the devil knows whether you're confident in it or not. What does the Bible say? It says, don't cast away your confidence. Why? It has great reward. Man, I'm confident no matter what. No matter, listen, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. No matter what's happening in America, no matter what's happening in the world, no matter what's happening in Oklahoma, in Tulsa, I'm telling you, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And guess what? That love never fails. By which he's given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. That's what James wrote in 1:16. Every good and perfect gift comes from above and comes down. Now listen to this. From the Father of lights. Can I tell you, the authority that you take and the light that you emanate attracts God's gifts, the perfect gifts from God, with whom there's no variance or shadow of turning, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've been about. I'm telling you, if you've been with the wrong people in your life, this might be the right people in your life. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creations. See, there's specific qualities that we have to have when we come into trials. There's too many people that it's like, what's going to happen when a trial hits your life? Let me tell you, you've got to have a game plan going in. James 1:19, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Notice it doesn't say quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to act. See, we're activists. We're action-oriented. For the wrath of man doesn't produce the righteousness of God. You know, we have to be doers of his word. We have to act upon his word. And let me tell you, I believe it's got to be immediate. Because this word comes as seed, and the Bible says the enemy comes immediately to steal the seed. We have to be doers and not just hearers of it. You sitting here and listening is not going to get you over the hump. It's not going to get you that promoted, elevated level of life that God's called you to live in. James 1:21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls, to bless and lift your souls. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. See, so much of the church is deceived, and it's not even the devil deceiving them anymore. just deceiving themselves. Oh, okay, I've heard it, and that's good enough. Man, you walk out, you walk out from this sanctuary, and you flip your Bible in your trunk, and you go have lunch. No, you know what? Man, this God's word, is, it comes as seed. It's got to be marinated. It's got to simmer. It's got to grow in you. It's got to be rooted in you. For if anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing himself in a natural, in his natural face in a mirror. And he observes himself and he goes away and immediately forgets what manner or what kind of man that he is. All the men in the room, I want you to stand. Please, please, quickly. All the men in the room, stand. Fellas, stand. Now listen, you look into the mirror and you walk away and forget what kind of man that you are. Why? The situations in your life and your circumstances dictate you having to be a different man than you really are. But see, verse 25 says this, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. Man, you get through the shuck and jive the enemy's throwing at you, the little bit of resistance he gives you. You're never going to be able to do this. You're never going to be able to understand God's word. You're never going to be able to recall it like everybody else does. You're never, you can't. And that's all bull crap. See, you've got to understand, but he looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer, listen to this, a doer of the work. We got to work this. Son, you got to put your hand to something. If you're going to stand as a man in this house, you got to put your hand to something. And continues the work, a doer of the work. Now listen, this one is blessed in what he does. Blessed in what he does. How? You got to put your hand to the work that God's put in front of you. And some of you guys have laid the work down. Some of you guys have found it, man. You've looked into that perfect law of liberty, and you're thinking, dear God, I'm a new creation in Christ. Greater is he who's in me than he is in the world. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and never beneath. And then you know what? You look away, and there's a cleavage, or there's something that you look at, or there's an opinion that angers you, and it gets you completely off track. Man, you've got to work, you've got to look into the perfect law of liberty and continue in it, and you'll be blessed at whatever you do. See, that's what God's will is. No matter what way the trade winds are blowing in the world, God's called you to be blessed in whatever you do. Blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed to be a blessing, where his benefits come upon you and overtake you. Have a seat. I wanted you to feel it today. If anyone among you thinks that he's religious and doesn't bridle his tongue, deceives his own heart. This one's religion is useless. Oh, dear God. How much of church, the church world and church life in America is useless? I've got people asking me every day, where's the church? Look what's happening in America. Where's the church? Somebody takes a stand now, they're going to take shots at you. My Bible says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. We've got to take a stand of faith. We've got to trust God. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. And here's the point of this message today. And to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Unspotted, write that down. Unspotted from the world. Unspotted from the world. The world, what the world's going to do is the world's going to spray on you. I've got four quick points, and I've rushed to get through this information so that you get the information, but we could get to these four points. Get your phones ready and take pictures of the screens. Write down the notes. Number one, unspotted from the world. Stay in the Word and let the Word stay in you. Limit the amount of media and opinions directed at and feeding your fear. You've got to stay in the Word. Let the Word stay in you. Don't let anything buffer God's Word in your heart. Number two, stay full of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, some of you guys have had a Pentecostal church experience and you've counted that it. I've had it as well. Let me tell you what this is. It's you pray constantly. Pray in the Spirit and in your understanding of God's Word. It's got to be Spirit and truth, Spirit and truth. Pray in the Spirit and your understanding of God's Word. Limit the amount of media and opinions directed at and feeding your fear. Limit it. Man, I was watching one of the top podcasters in the world. Man, he's tough, he's intelligent, he's articulate. And I'm watching a podcast this week. And you know what he says? He says, you know what, I've got to be careful because I've got so much information. Fear hits me and I don't know what to do with it. And you know what? It struck a nerve in me, and I thought of everybody at our church. I thought of you guys watching on the internet. I thought about how much access fear has to our hearts. When the Bible says God has given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. But you know what? Fear hits our hearts like fiery darts. Well, the shield of faith that God's promised is able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, and nothing will by any means harm you. Man, if you know that you're the head and not the tail, and that no weapon formed against you will prosper, and nothing will by any means harm you, then you know what? Fear has absolutely no place and even no dominion at all in your life. You receive the power and ability of God when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You know what? God starts getting beat to a pulp, I'm concerned. But if he's not, I'm not concerned. You know why? This power that comes upon us with the Holy Spirit is supernatural power. It disarms all of your past. It sets you up in heavenly places in Christ and seals your future. Number three, we live by the law of love. And this is huge. You got to remember, I'm uncompromisingly Christian. So love suffers long. It's kind. Love doesn't envy. Love doesn't parade itself. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave rudely. It doesn't seek its own. Love's not provoked. Oh my gosh, God help me. Love thinks no evil. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. See, that's what we've got to understand. We've got to look at it. The perfect law of liberty is our access to never failing, to never being without. And number four, and this is a huge one, this is what I bought into. I'm telling you why Guts Church is number four. We obey the Great Commission. So if you're wondering, if you're here and you're relatively new and you're thinking, well, Shear, you get a rant every week? Maybe. I'll throw some teachers and preachers up here once in a while, but I'm telling you, I'm emotional about this. This is real. This is raw in my life right now. I'm going to obey the Great Commission. It's what we bought into. It's what Sandy and I bought into 28 years ago. This is going to be a church for people that don't like church. You know who those people are? Lost people. And there's been people that have come in through the years and said, well, I really like church. It's like, well, you might like this, you might not. Because most people come in and say, it doesn't feel like church to me. You don't understand, the winning bell in my heart rings when I hear that. We've got to obey the Great Commission and not be churchy. The main reason the devil tries to obstruct us is to keep us from that commission. And see, too much of the church right now is about their mission. What's your mission, son? Hey, Glenn, what's your mission? Hey, Scott, what's your mission? Let me tell you, our mission is irrelevant if it's not connected to the Great Commission. Our number one duty is to make God known throughout the world and not the religious God of stained glass and uncomfortable pews and dusty hymnals. and guys with robes. No, all of that's fine. It's just not me. God's heart is to reach the lost. And I'm telling you, I'm emotional about this. Because I see the church getting pulled away from the commission. Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spoke to him and said, All authority has been given me in heaven and on earth. Listen to this. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the races. That it's translated nations. It's literally races. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all races, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the authority, the Son, the connectivity and the relation, and the Holy Spirit, which is our power, teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. This is a snootful here. This is powerful. And I'm telling you, this is our time to shine. We're the light of the world. We're a city on a hill. It's our time to shine.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.